he looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, sorry about that. Running late, technical difficulties. I tell you, crazy. It's very crazy. Got to welcome guest 2316 to the chat room, and of course, DDP. Thank God, DDP, you showed up. I was about to get on social media and tell you that I'm here now. Oh my goodness, so much to talk about, because, hey, you know, today we're going to be talking about, you know, will the real talent please stand up? In other words, that means, like you've heard me say many times, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say it over and over and over again. I understand that you're the boss of all these different sports organizations, but when it comes down to it, if you don't have employees to feedback off of, to listen to when they have their own ideas that might be extreme, but remember, extreme is the way to go, because if you don't deliver to the people that like your product and are coming to you, then no question about it, you're out of business. That's it, end of story, you're done, finished. I mean, just look at what's going on with the inaugural situation right now with Mr. Jackson, the jackass that, you know, well, him and several others, but he's the main one that started this kind of, it's not a revolution, but it's a way of getting everybody else behind him to where they go, oh, well, see you later, Dana White, see you later, Dana White. I mean, and Dana White is furious with him, as I mentioned last week, because they had to cancel. As you remember, last week I said that last Saturday they had to cancel their very first pay-per-view. They've never canceled a pay-per-view in the entire history of UFC, and all because of Jones and several others. Well, I don't want to fight this person. This person, I don't like him, so I'm not going to fight him. And now if I could just imagine if I was Dana White, I'd be like, what? You want to fight him just because you don't like him? No. I'm paying you. Now, sure, there comes cross barriers when between an employee and an employer. And you're going to hear about those aspects today. It's, you know, one of those revolving doors that keeps opening, and you go, how do you close this door? Well, maybe we'll find out answers. Maybe we won't. But I'm excited because, ladies and gentlemen, can you feel the intention, the contingency of what is going on here? And it all started Wednesday night. We are officially under NFL way, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you're the elephant in the room and you're like, what officially started underway? You're one to talk, Matt. You showed up 15 minutes late into your show. No, I was having technical difficulties. But as I said, I'm here now. And so is Coffee. Coffee's in the chat room. Well, what officially came underway on Wednesday? The National Football League had their very first regular season game. That's right, no more preseason, ladies and gentlemen. We are done through with that. And it all had to do with Dallas and New York. And, you know, the Giants fans all were like, well, this is New York, and we're just going to dominate. We're going to dominate. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. See, the team had feedback. They started their own set of feedback with their own fans. Now, you got to pay close attention today, because I'm going to run through this shit, because the technical difficulty error, the fact that we started hecka late today, you're going to really have to pay attention. I'm sorry. Normally, I just tell you things, and then I'm like, did you get that? I give you three chances, like in baseball. Okay, well, good. You fans understood where I'm coming from then. But today, I'm like, whoop, whoop, whoop. I'm going to be like an auctioneer. I can't talk that fast, but, you know. But see, they did this thing where they said, well, we're the toughest. We're the toughest team in the NFL. We're the only team in the NFL. No, you're not. There's 27 teams in the NFL. You're just one of them. But this was their attitude. We can take care of anything. We don't need help or we don't need advice. I mean, even one of ABC's own expert analysis, which is giving his food for thought before the game on Wednesday. He said, well, don't you want to rationalize and, you know, kind of put the team into perspective? That way you can set the tone for your fans. And they said, hey, we don't take that crap from you. You're just an announcer person. They didn't say the most exact words. But that was the attitude that the Giants had. Finally, they get on the field, and I'm going, this is going to extremely blow up in their face. And it did. They had the ball started out. Yeah. We're only in the first quarter, and they've already got three damn interceptions. Three picks. They got picked off three times in the first quarter. Then you knew that, well, it was already a 10-0 game. And I think the Giants just opened the door to their own ass-kicking tonight. And then, of course, I had to go out and go to a friend's funeral on that same night. I come home and I saw the score and I go, well, I knew it was going to be bad, but I didn't think it would be this bad. 24-17, I thought, it's still, as I said last week, this is going to be a close game. It's going to be a tight game. But, I mean, I thought it would be a lot closer than that. I thought it would be like maybe 34-30 or something like that. But this is almost, an 8-point game difference. I mean, 24-17, Dallas just walked right into New York Dallas had said even during halftime, well, we have some improvement to make. We've got some stuff to take care of. We're going to try our best. Whatever happens, happens. Then a good friend of mine sent me a clip from what had taken place on what the Giants had said during the halftime show for their team. Well, we're still out there. We don't look too good, but we're still going to dominate. What? During halftime, they still have the same attitude. They haven't woken up. Then you've got all the fans going, yeah, let's go Giants. We ain't worried about nothing. I'm like, if I was a Giants fan, I would be, seriously, I would be applauding them and trying to get them back into this game. I wouldn't be throwing excerpts like some of these other fans were doing. Oh, don't worry, we're doing it. We're still good. And that's going into halftime, you're not. So I don't know what happened there. They really hurt themselves on that one. But anyway, we have to look forward because that counts as a regular season game. And you all say, wait a minute. Now, you might be listening to this show today, wherever you're listening from, I thank you. You might be saying, well, you know, I'm a long, long time NFL fan. Are you sure that game took place on Wednesday? Yes, traditionally the game to have the regular season do take place on Thursday. But they couldn't do it on Thursday. They couldn't do it yesterday because the fact that, well, they had the stupid presidential convention. They were, you know, Bill Clinton was involved, and yeah, like anybody cares. But I mean, there were more promos for that than anything. I kept seeing promos for that even the days leading up to Wednesday for the Giants and Dallas Cowboys game. They kept showing the old video clips. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. But no, nobody should care what you're promoting, what you're doing, what you're saying, and how you're saying it. Matt Broderick is in the chat room. He said, I knew that game on Wednesday that the Cowboys would win. And everybody's still in shock that it counts. But, hey, that's too bad. It does count as a regular season win. Because it's a regular season now, Dallas is automatically in first place for regular season already. They've already got the regular season points and everything else. Now let's look ahead to Sunday, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? Atlanta and Kansas City. Ooh, gee. I hate to say it, because I'm a Raiders fan. Kansas City is going to win. I don't know, hands down, that's just my pick. Philadelphia and Cleveland. Maybe Cleveland might win. Washington and New Orleans. I feel like going with Washington. That's just what I feel. That they're going to beat the crap out of New Orleans. I don't know why I feel that way. All due respect to you if you're a New Orleans Saints fan, though. St. Louis and Detroit. This is, of course, in the spirit of sportsmanship. That's the way I talk. I think Detroit is going to beat St. Louis. New England will take on Tennessee. After years of badgering the Patriots for all the cheating they did a few years ago and the year before that, this year, I don't know. Something must be wrong with me. But I'm going to go with New England on this one and think that they're going to win against Tennessee. Miami will take on Houston. Houston will probably win. Buffalo Bills will take on the Jets. I hope the Jets can win, pull that out. Jacksonville and Minnesota. I said the Vikings will take out Jacksonville. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Since I got a few of you that are rivals in this one. The Indianapolis Colts. And I know since Matt Broderick is from Chicago, he is in the chat room. It'll be the Colts, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you Colts in the chat room. We'll take on the Chicago Bears. That's, of course, Matt Broderick's team. I think DDP even go for Chicago. So you might have some help there, Matt. But it's going to be a fight. This is going to be a fight. And I said last year, I renamed some teams. The Colts, whatever Colts mean, but Colts are just these aggravating animals, and they're taking on some Chicago Bears. Bears, of course, are big and tall, and you got to beat them down the sides, or they might eat you alive. Whatever that means. I have no clue. It's not even in my notes. Carolina and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay will probably win over Carolina because Carolina, they have struggling issues. They had the problems last year. We'll see what happens this year. Seattle and Arizona. I say let's go Seattle. Pittsburgh and Denver. I hope Pittsburgh can beat Denver. And then, of course, the Monday night deal. Cincinnati and Baltimore. Monday night football is back. Come on, did you hear me, ladies and gentlemen? I said Monday night football is back. Thank God. And that will take place. Between Cincinnati and Baltimore, I don't know who to cheer for on that one. Yep, DDP picks the Bears. We'll see what happens, guys. With Monday Night Football back, there's still one huge formidable problem that they have. Today's already Friday. Of course, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Some people count those as weekends. Others just count Saturday and Sunday as weekends. And you're probably saying, well, what's it going to be like for ESPN? And the reason why that is because they don't even have, well, you're probably wondering, you know, what's funny, Matt, I haven't seen commercials for who's going to be the host and the commentators and people of that nature for Monday Night Football. Oh, and another thing, Matt, can we tell you? They still don't have a theme song. I know that. The regular season has started. Today's already Friday. I know we're, like I said, you know, over the years, that I've already figured this out on my own. Even before I started on Blog Talk Radio, that most of you in the chat room, you're 2 hours ahead of me. Or you could be a guest here in California and be like, yeah, we know, it's 1:30 in the afternoon, right? But everybody else is 2 hours ahead of me. For some of you, it's like 3:30 in the afternoon. Right, Matt? Right, Coffee? Right, DDP? Yeah, you're all 3 hours ahead of me. Or 2.5. And ESPN needs to get the ball on this. I can't begin to tell you how crazy today is, because it's all about this whole thing coming around. You think this is it? Well, wait till we get to Wrestling News. You're going to be like, what? What? They're not doing that after all? Or they might not do that after all? I mean, it's kind of the same shit. Some people like to say that, well, Winston's game is a regular season game, but it doesn't count on my book. I'm one of those people that doesn't count the regular season because it starts on Sunday. I understand that people are different. Some of you are going to want to choose to, you know, wait till Sunday and declare Sunday the regular season game. It doesn't matter whether you counted the Dallas Giants game on Wednesday and were like me and go, okay, well, the regular season officially underway. Or you're like, no, Matt, I'm waiting until Sunday, because Sunday is when all the football games are on. And then, of course, we go into Monday, so that's when the regular season starts in my house. That's fine. But it should not be fine if you work for ESPN. I mean, since it happened so long ago that I don't even remember who it was, but whoever was doing the Monday night theme from last year, he had been doing it for 2 years. And all because he said something on Bob Costas' show on HBO that ESPN found it wrong for him to say something like that. Whatever he said, I forgot that story too. All I remember is I find out that they fired him. We're going to get a new theme song. We don't want your song anymore. Here's the last payment of percentage you're going to get from us at the network. Good luck to you, but we don't need you anymore. Then they told the world, by next season, we're going to find a brand new artist who's going to lead us into victory for Monday Night Football. Because Monday nights will be the place people want to come to when they hear a favorite song of theirs or a new favorite theme song from Monday Night Football. But it's taken them over a year now to do this. And they're 3 days away from the official recognition where they will officially announce that it's the regular season. And they don't even have a theme song yet. They don't have broadcasters yet. Because all the guys before us were having health problems or you know, getting too old to be doing this every Monday night. You better do some shit research and find people to do this. Find a last-minute artist if you have to. I mean, maybe they already did. Who knows? All they have said is, just tune into the Monday night game. I'm sure you won't be disappointed. Well, I don't want to tune into a Monday night football game and, I mean, could you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, how weird this would be? I'm sure Coffee would do this. Coffee would be like, I just tuned in. There's no announcers. Nobody broadcasting the game. And there was no music. All I hear is the referee talking, and they started playing. I guess I can watch a game with no commentary, with no music. How would that feel? Oh, yeah, Matthew Broderick, you just pissed everybody off in the chat room. See how you are? Jeez, Matt. We treat you like a champion, and this is how you repay us. Matt Broderick said, oh, yeah, I got my food right now for this show. The food for today's show is Taco Bell. Coffee said, I had Taco Bell for lunch. Let me tell you, Matt, that's just Coffee's way of saying, you didn't want to share with me? You want to be a pig? I see how you are. You guys are all probably going to start Steve Austin what chance now. Let's take this call real quick. 562, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Matt Alvarez. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well, Matt. Have you heard the news, the breaking news from the NFL?
What's the breaking news?
The players from the New Orleans Saints that were suspended for some days or even the entire year, the appeal has been heard and it has been stayed. In other words, the players can now play. The New Orleans Saints players that were suspended for the Bounty Gate are now not suspended anymore.
Good.
Amazing, don't you think, Matt?
Yeah, very easy.
This is incredible. You know what? This is unbelievable. Their suspensions have been overturned. Unbelievable, Matt. It's crazy. The NFL. I guess it means nothing now.
I didn't think that would happen.
Matt, it just happened right now. Todd Washburn, or no, Alan Diaz gave me the text, and I sent it out, and I didn't think of sending it to you, Matt, and I apologized. I should have done so, and I just remembered. And I said, oh, man, I got to tell Matt. And this just happened right now. The news is just breaking within the last 20 minutes that the New Orleans Saints players, the ones that were suspended, whether it was for two games, six of the entire season, they can now play. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's crazy. I remember reporting on that story, too, when it came out.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, I think ESPN has it, so if you have access to ESPN or someone else can do that in the chat room for you, but this is unbelievable. I know we're going to be talking about this tomorrow morning, Matt. I know that, and we may even do a program later on tonight as well. This is good stuff to talk about, Matt. It's unbelievable. I just can't believe it. Wow.
Yes. Well, thank you for telling me that.
No problem, Matt. But, hey, since I'm here, I want to thank Matt, of course, for being on with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys know Matt's been on here except for twice in the last 2 years when Matt takes his vacation down south and he has a good time. And I'm very thankful for that, Matt. I'm very appreciative for you since you've joined us here on NDB Media. It's a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to hearing this program in a little bit. But like I said, I wanted to get that news to you. And so you can get that out to everyone. Big stuff. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow morning on Sports Talk with the Guys.
I think you will. Thank you very much, sir.
Sir, come on, Matt. Give me a break. Don't call me sir. Well, okay. All right, I guess I had that one coming. But all right. All right, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and have fun, and tell Coffee to behave, dude.
Oh, man. Coffee, you heard it here. You heard it straight from the mouth of Roger. He wants you to totally behave. He doesn't want you to misbehave here. I don't know what that means. Maybe it means he's gonna ban you from the chat room. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, it's crazy. It's like become so out of control. Now, I'm sure you probably heard if you did watch TNA last night. And after that, if you did, of course, also watch MMA Uncensored, and who they had on that show last night. I watched it and I was like, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to tune in and find out exactly what all the talk and all the hype is about. I don't know if I was amused or disappointed or angry. I sure wasn't confused. But you'll find out exactly what that was about.
Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper. Want to thank you for listening today. Want to remind everyone that if you want to stay up on all of our events, head on over to sportstalkwiththeguys.com. There you're going to find a hip and happening forum and up-to-date news on our blog, and maybe even a few of our friends, or as we call associates. Definitely not comrades, but you can find Matt Alvarez and, of course, Sonny Clark as the Couch Potato. Check out the links over at sportstalkwiththeguys.com.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Taking a very late commercial break. All thanks to technical difficulties, but got that over with. We don't need to worry about that anymore. We got to worry about the show. Because the show is all that's there, all that you have. And today, like I said, our subject for today is, will the real talent please stand up? And you'll find out what that's all about in just a little bit. First, let's get through this news here that we have. Because you're probably wondering, you know, what's going on here. I saw him wrestle just at the pay-per-view that they had 2 weeks ago. Well, WWE officials pulled Christian from television since he's expected to appear at next month's TNA Hall of Fame ceremony in Phoenix as part of an agreement for the rival organization TNA. They were the ones who allowed Ric Flair to appear at WrestleMania in kind of a trade, I guess you could say. But according to another source, those reports are incorrect because multiple WWE sources state that Christian requested time off from the road since there were no major storylines planned for him, and also he has to rest his ankle anyways. He's still having trouble with it, which sidelined him late last year and at the start of this year. It's not known when he will return to the ring, though he was at one point scheduled for next week's television event in Canada. And also, check this out. Alberto Del Rio's real-life brother, WWE NXT developmental wrestler Delero Rodriguez, is not getting rave reviews as of late. Sources in development claim he has little to no experience in wrestling, and it's really shown with his work, they said. The sources also note that while he's not in danger of being fired, he has a ton of work ahead of him to become a successful future wrestler. Former WWE World Champion Batista appeared on Spike TV's MMA Uncensored to help promote his October 6th MMA debut in Providence, Rhode Island. Now, like I said earlier before the commercial break, if you saw this, then, well, you knew what to expect from Batista. Over the course of the show, Batista was asked about his interest in returning to WWE. He commented that, of course, I'd like to go back down there. And he also said that, well, I left on good terms and the door is always open for him to come back. He said he'd like to go back and do something before it's done and quipped. He said, but not before. I can't go back now. Let's hope the whole PG thing blows over so I can go back, he said, and do wrestling the way I like to do wrestling. Yeah, after making a comment like that, I don't think Vince McMahon will appreciate that and maybe not even have the doors open for him to return now. But hey, it's an opinion. What act if he would want to work with? He said, well, I've remained close with Triple H, and I've name-checked The Undertaker before, noting that I've never had the chance to do anything with Brock Lesnar. He said, that's a program I'd love to do. He said, when asked about the idea of fighting Lesnar in MMA, he also said that it was offered to him. If it was offered to him, he would take the deal, if the deal was right. But he'd much rather prefer it in a pro wrestling setting. On the same show, because they also had Muhammad King Mo, he announced on MMA 2 that his in-ring wrestling debut will take place sometime in October. So King Mo is, of course, leaving MMA, mixed martial arts, to go into pro wrestling. Brock Lesnar leaves wrestling to go into MMA. Kind of a weird philosophy, and I thought, well, wow, that's exciting. That was my reaction. I was excited for both guys, and hey, that's all I can say. So, more than likely, since King Mo said that he'll debut, that Dixie Carter wants him to be on there sometime in late October. They'll probably save him for a Halloween surprise, since Halloween is already around the corner, damn it. Check this out, though. Spike TV will present a new one-hour special, Countdown to Bound for Glory, this Sunday, that will provide an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at TNA's biggest and most star-studded event of the year. They're also going to have at least one or two matches on that show that will take place directly on Spike TV. Then, of course, if you ordered the pay-per-view already, they have made sure that it will, you know, you won't have to change channels, you know, like you do with some NFL games, where they say, unless you're on the West Coast, then you'll have to change channels, but unless you already actually have our channel on, like, the NFL Network or something like that, then you don't need to change channels. Spike TV will try and offer that same thing this Sunday, where if you have already ordered the pay-per-view, I say just do it the cheap way, watch it on YouTube. Or not YouTube, the internet for free, rather than paying all that money to TNA. And check this out. Remember when I told you just before commercial break about this whole NFL thing with the fact that they don't have Monday night announcers or anything like that? They don't even have an opening theme song for this coming Monday? Well, Vince McMahon has that same problem now. It was a dream that he had 2 years ago to expand his sports entertainment empire through a dedicated cable network. Appears very much in doubt, and this dream could be lost. Yes, of course, I'm talking about the numerous plans for the WWE Network have been indefinitely placed on hold, even though WWE said that, well, we have great ratings. People love our shows. The organization, they have yet to strike a deal with any cable or satellite provider to carry the channel 1 year after officially announcing its formation, but no satellite and cable operatives want to, and this is kind of strange, that they don't want to offer it because Vince went PG. And you're probably going, well, wait a minute. These are the same networks and the same satellite providers that were against. They were the ones that started the thing in the 90s to say that wrestling has gotten to be too violent with the ECW product and with Vince McMahon's product, and then WCW got involved, and they wanted nothing to do with it. Well, the reason for the change now is that all those people in these cable companies that were in charge of them have all passed on or have quit or whatever, and all the younger people that are my age, that grew up watching the violent stuff, they're now in charge of these cable companies and these satellite companies, and they're going, no, I'm sorry, Vince. We can't do that right this time. And it has to do with the PG productification of the show. Vince, I keep telling you, you got to go back to TV-14. The only way this thing will happen, I mean, all this other stuff that takes place on YouTube now was originally supposed to take place on the network. Let's take a pause real quick from Wrestling News since we're on the subject, but I got a text message, ladies and gentlemen, from the one and only Matt Broderick. And today, you should check out Saturday Morning All-Star Slam. And I said, what? Are you serious? He said, yeah, WWE got a show. The Saturday morning gig. I said, well, I haven't found it yet. That was 2 weeks ago. Then last Saturday, I happened to flip through on the channels. And Matt, remember I told you, I texted you right away. I said, I found it. Let's just see what goes on here. But talk about watered down. Talk about really going PG. They really went PG with this Saturday morning All-Star Slam. And I'm going, wait a minute. Vince McMahon and others in the company were against having anything to do to remotely return to Saturday mornings. But they went with it, and now they're back on for a 30-minute show. But in the span of this 30 minutes, from the time that this show started, Coffee, to the time that it ended, I said, I'm not watching it anymore. That's my first and last Saturday morning slam. Do you know why? Because it started great. It started with The Rock and with Austin and saying how great that these two men were. And letting it be known that Austin was the one that revolutionized the business for his foul-mouthed attitude, and it showed his promo from leading up to WrestleMania 13 with The Rock. And how he came in there with the beer truck and I'm going to beat your ass and blah, blah, blah. They didn't even bleep the cuss word out. And they go right into how WWE superstars have had the strangest request for autographs and where people wanted their autographs at. And they haven't even taken their first commercial break yet. Okay? And leading up to the commercial break, they had all these different things going on. Then, you know, it was crazy. And they said, well, we're going to have a wrestling match for you guys. And I go, they're going to have a wrestling match. This is a 30-minute show, right? Okay. And, you know, I mean, it did bring some relief because they had William Regal on that show. And he was doing physics for you kids out there. Well, this is an adult themed show. So, yeah, I guess if you want to tell your kids that William Regal was doing physics, I didn't know William Regal was PE equipped. You know what I mean? And it led up to Kofi Kingston saying, we are going to take a commercial break, boys and girls. But before we do that, here's a pop quiz for you. And I thought, oh no. The pop quiz is going to have absolutely nothing to do with the kids now because, well, the kids of today weren't even born yet. And he goes, this is very, very easy. In 2001, who was the owner for the Alliance? Was it Shane, Stephanie, or Linda McMahon? And I knew it. I knew it. I was like, what the heck? How are these kids even supposed to know what took place in the history of pro wrestling in 2001? Almost all of them were just fucking being born. I said, what kind of pop quiz is that? I thought Kofi Kingston was going to give us the rundown of, I don't know, maybe Ricardo Rodriguez, or maybe he was going to question the children about Santino Marella and where he gets his haircut. That would have been popular pop quiz because these are the relevant things that they like to teach kids. But no, out of the blue, they teach kids this? I said, enough. There is no way kids that are watching this right now are even going to remotely get this answer straight. I know the answer. I know if anybody from my show listening knows the answer. And, well, it was Shane McMahon and blah, blah, blah. And okay, well, thank you for sharing. Which leads back to this. Because WWE was expected to hire approximately 200 employees, including a general manager, to run the channel. But WWE claims that they have a hiring freeze. They've been saying that every 6 months. And they said, well, that if any member of recent hires or hire somebody right now, other people are in jeopardy of being terminated. Because as you all remember, they initially launched, timed the launch of the network for April 1st, 2012. Because they wanted you to also concede with their pay-per-view extravaganza, WrestleMania. The company even had a clock counting down to the April launch date on its website, which eventually disappeared. And the network will virtually be impossible to get off the ground within the next year. Good luck with that, Vince. No, really, good luck with that. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara have been teaming together on WWE TV as of late, and that's for a few reasons. First of all, WWE is still looking to build a WrestleMania match between the two. WWE originally wanted the Mysterio versus Sin Cara at WrestleMania 28, but the idea was that WWE would have hand out Mysterio and Sin Cara Mac to the audience and set the Guinness World Record for the most Macs worn in a public gathering. Due to both parties having injuries, that did not happen. WWE has also decided to have the two tag team for now, partly to build a history with them and also to help both wrestlers in other ways. Rey Mysterio is not 100% right now, and the feeling is that he can be better protected in tag team matches while he gets back to 100%. Also, Rey teaming with Sin Cara is now being looked at as Rey endorsing Sin Cara to the fans, which will help him get over and hopefully sell merchandise. There is also talk of the duo winning the tag team titles very soon. And check this out. You know how Triple H said on Raw last week? I don't want to retire. I don't want to quit. But I have to. I love you all. Goodbye, everyone. Well, they've already went with the storyline, so it may be too late for that. Because WWE Chairman Vince McMahon and Triple H in real life have been butting heads, not getting along as of late, over the direction of Triple H's actual character. Especially after SummerSlam. Right after SummerSlam, Triple H believes his character is more effective as a heel, but Vince wants him to remain a babyface. Triple H's power has grown over the years, and he is, in real life, the executive vice president of talent and live events. However, McMahon still has the final say in all aspects of the product, including Triple H's character. So this thing with Triple H saying that he's done, and well, he may come back, but he's probably going to take a long vacation away from Vince McMahon right now. And, you know, there have been rumors running rampant for the last 6 weeks about this, but I can now confirm that Devon Dudley has parted ways with TNA and has shown interest in returning to WWE. Sources say that they are not optimistic that Devon would return as a wrestler. Devon was well-liked during his time in WWE, but the latest is that he has a much better chance of getting brought in as an agent or a trainer in developmental. Because, I mean, he currently runs a Team 3D Wrestling Academy along with Bubba Ray anyways. So, yeah, yeah, Matt, I heard he had cut his hair. The game, Triple H cut his hair. I haven't seen pictures of it. Matt says he's going to find me the picture. I appreciate that, pal. Well, now that that's all over with, let's get into this now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Broderick, if you want to click on the link, he just posted it in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, that's okay. I will reveal this to you in a few minutes. I'm waiting for my computer to load because I just clicked on the link myself. Like I said, today we'll be talking about, will the real talent please stand up, or you can subtitle it Real Talent Stands. Because either way, you have to find a way to do this in simple subtraction order. And I'm going to explain that by running down Raw and then explaining where this is all leading up to and how we are going to get there. Because it's like I said at the top of the show, I understand you are in charge. But how many times have you gone to work, ladies and gentlemen, and your boss tells everybody in a huge, huge meeting, well, after our numbers and stuff, we're doing this and this and that, but we're still struggling in some areas. Now, I want your feedback and your ideas. And let's pretend that this is a public hall setting with thousands of employees. Let's pretend I say that to everyone listening live and everyone in the chat room. Well, I'm not backing up what I'm preaching. I'm preaching the fact that, well, here's what we've established in our company, here's what we haven't established in our company, and here's what we need to work on. What we need to work on is where I want ideas. But I'm not backing up what I'm preaching if all of a sudden Coffee says, well, can I do some interesting stuff with the company? Let me handle this part. I can do this. I can honestly do this. And let's say that Matt Broderick says, well, I have experience in the financial area. Let me manage the money for you. And let's say that DDP says, well, I can bring in more revenue. I can bring in customers. Let's work all this out together. Give me that authority. And let's pretend that in front of thousands of employees, in front of everyone, the main boss, which let's pretend it's me, then in front of everyone, I turn all three of you down. Nope, we're not going in that direction. I am in control. I run this company. And you guys would be like, well, wait a minute. What the fuck is wrong with you? You just said you wanted ideas. You wanted help. We're offering our services. Some bosses don't know how to react to that. They're like, well, whatever, whatever. And they just bury you in front of your coworkers. Burying should not take place in public at all. It's a departure of where you're at. And if the boss doesn't want help, well, then you've got some choices to make. Because check this out. Dolph Ziggler versus Randy Orton. Dolph Ziggler is the winner. You can thank Vicky Guerrero for her esteemed interference, and that's why Randy Orton lost. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara versus Cody Rhodes and Tensai. I don't understand where they're going with this Tentai character, because even though in real life he did spend some much quality time in Japan, they got Sakimoto out there with him. And 2 weeks ago, the writers had this idea to have Tentai, because he lost to John Cena last month, he couldn't take the pressure of losing to someone like John Cena. Whoop-de-doo. So they decided to turn him around and have him attack Sakimoto, the guy who's still faithful to him after all this time. I wonder if it's going to be a matter of time before Sakimoto finds somebody bigger and stronger than the so-called Lord Tensai, a.k.a. Albert. But Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, they win over Cody Rhodes and Tensai. And Lord Tensai did it again. He assaulted Sakimoto. He was about to assault Cody Rhodes, but Cody got his ass out of there faster than a jackrabbit on a date. And even though it was well promoted leading up to Monday Night Raw from last weekend, because that's what I saw. All last Saturday I saw the Raw commercial, CM Punk versus Sheamus, CM Punk versus Sheamus. I mean, it was almost on every channel. Every time I finished watching a movie on Saturday last weekend, I'm like, let's go to this channel. I got a good movie coming on this channel. I'm going to watch this. And then I see the commercial again. I'd go, damn. Well, come to find out, Punk comes out and, you know, he comes out with the microphone, and I said, oh, here we go. I know what's going on here. Punk says his contract has personal days, and this is one of them. Then Punk walks to the backstage area, and AJ's like, what do you think you're doing? He's like, I'm leaving. Okay, babe, I'm out of here. Like I told the audience, this is Labor Day. I'm taking the day off. It's in my contract, as you well know. And the next part was hilarious. They go to the next skit. Matt Stryker just walked up because he seemed how distraught she is that CM Punk just left. He's like, well, AJ, what are you going to do about this? This was your main event that had been broadcasted the world over. I'd like to know whose idea this dumb fuck shit was. But it was funny, though, the way they did it, but it was still pretty stupid, too, at the same token. Because she turns around and looks at Matt Stryker. She's like, excuse me, who are you? He looked at the camera like he got that stupid look on his face. Oh, that was classic, though. She's like, never mind, it doesn't matter who you are. Go to the ring and tell Sheamus to stay there. I will find him an opponent. And he stands there and he stares at the, he looks right at, turns his head, looks at the camera again with that pathetic, confused look. She's like, go right now! She's on screaming at him, and I said, oh, gee. Did that really have to be part of the segment, part of that storyline? Could you tell she was going to end up doing something crazy, and it would come later on in the night. Jack Swagger came out and he took on Sheamus. Sheamus is the winner, but after, it was after the fact, Sheamus goes for the broad kick, and Ricardo Rodriguez puts Sheamus out of the way and takes the kick himself. I go, he didn't take that kick full force, but when they slowed it down and showed it in slow motion, I thought, that's good. They're using slow motion technique to make it look as authentic as possible. But then I realized, no, he really did kick him. Because if you saw that right before Ricardo Rodriguez, before he walked up the ramp, he just stared at Sheamus, and they actually walked by each other. And the reason for that was, Sheamus goes, I hope he's not really hurt. I'm sorry. I really kicked him. That's why Ricardo Rodriguez was pretending, making sure that, well, we can't let fans know that we're having this conversation. We're not really arguing with each other. I'm just going to say whatever's on the top of my head. Sheamus is like, okay. And Sheamus goes back to celebrating. He goes over by the, you know, Ricardo Rodriguez, Alberto Del Rio goes over by the announce table. He's like, look what you did. Ugh. He's all, you stupid ass. I hate you. I hate you. And I'm like, that's the best he can say off the top of his head. Then he goes up the ramp and, you know, Sheamus flaunts the title at him from the ring. But yeah. You're probably wondering, well, this does in fact mean that Ricardo Rodriguez is going to take some time off. Of course. He's still wrestling for FCW. For, you know, WWE's developmental staging, you know, to send out wrestlers. He eventually is going to actually wrestle. We'll see that on television in the near future. Eve Torres versus Caitlin. Eve Torres, she won. Layla, of course, was on commentary. And, well, since Jerry Lawler had gotten attacked by CM Punk before Raw went on the air, and he kicked him in the face, and, you know, for that, the Dolph Ziggler-Randy Orton match, within those 10 minutes, would you agree with me or not agree with me that, see, during that first match, I mean, sure was Michael Cole we had to listen to, but it's okay because it proves that they don't need a 2 or 3 man announce team. I mean, it kind of reminded me of the days when Joey Styles would be out there in the original ECW announcing every single match and doing all the announcements by himself. Michael Cole, he hates that kind of shit. He doesn't like to be left alone because that's what kind of fucking baby he is. But they told him, they said, here, you got to do this, do that. Oh, and you got to let the world know that Snickers and some chicken company out in the West Coast, maybe you guys know what it is, but that they were sponsoring Monday Night Raw. He's like, I got to say all this by myself for 10 whole minutes? They go, yeah, you'll be fine. Until they finally send out The Miz. The Miz had been on commentary up to this point. And he starts trash-talking with Layla. Layla, shake Eve Torres' hand. Shake her hand right now. That's all you women are good for. She's like, stay out of it. Mind your own business. Because she had her hand out to shake Eve Torres' hand like she was going to shake it. But then she stopped and looked at the Miz, and I thought she was going to turn around and slap him. Oh, I wanted her to slap him so badly. Now, the next segment was the whole anger management with Daniel Bryan and Kane. And they still have not made it very clear as to what Kane is doing in anger management, but nonetheless, he's there. He randomly showed up there 2 weeks ago, and he's still there. They've not given no storyline purpose reasoning for this. Since this goes to what I'm saying, this is part of the subject today, about talent standing up for themselves. Why didn't the guy behind the mask, not the character Kane, but the real-life person playing Kane, he probably did the same thing with that example I gave you guys 10 minutes ago. You know, Vince, you wanted my idea. Here's what I think. I don't think it's actually necessarily, it's not going to make sense if I'm there if I just show up in anger management class for no reason. Give me an action, give the fans an actual reason to put me there. And they probably told him, well, keep your mouth shut or you're going to be fired. And that's what Vince liked to do. Once you open your mouth and express yourself, or try to show your even when you show your true honesty with him, Vince, it's not going to work, or something of that nature if you say that to him. What? You're fired. Get out of here. You can't fire people for those reasons. But in Vince McMahon's world, you can. But anyway, this segment went on, and it started out with the teacher saying that, now, Daniel, I want you to fall backwards and Kane will catch you. He's like, what? Fall backwards and Kane will catch you. We can build a trust factor here. And then they thought that they were understanding each other because Daniel said, well, I think I understand where Kane is coming from. But they went back to Raw rather than the pre-taped anger management stuff, and they're both in the ring, and they both just start talking trash to each other, and then you can tell that the anger management class didn't work, and they start beating the crap out of each other, start giving each other knife-edged chops, and AJ says, well, we're going to settle this through a simple vote from the audience. And these were the worst, stupidest things that the writers and Vince McMahon specifically could come up with. You want to talk about bullshit story writing? This is not even a storyline. Now it's gotten out of hand. Because Michael Cole said, well, hashtag WWE tag if you want them to compete in a tag team match. I'm fine with that. Everybody would be okay with that. Hashtag WWE match if you want them just to have a singles match one-on-one. They can settle this like men. But then they said, I almost don't want to say it, but I have to. And the men said, yeah, you can even hashtag WWE hug if you want Kane and Daniel to hug in front of the world. Hug it out. Michael Cole's like, yeah, hug it out. Come on, guys. I'm voting for that right now. And because all of WWE talent, it was all based on them. Then they tried to tell the world through the voice of Michael Cole, who's got Vince McMahon in his earpiece, in his headset. Now, tell the audience that their fellow WWE superstars, I mean fellow fans from the universe, have voted for a hug. Just tell them that's the main one. And the hug will win. So Michael Cole says what Vince McMahon wants him to say. Which is never not true. You know, I mean, they do 3-hour shows. Why didn't you find some time to at least find two real fans and say, so, did you have the internet on your phone, I see. Are you on Twitter? Are you tweeting this right now? Are you hashtagging this? What did you hashtag? But no wrestling company, well, at least not them. I'm sure other real wrestling companies, they really do real raffles and real stuff. The independents, they actually show their gratitude. Where, if you're the one that mainly voted for something in whatever wrestling company that is, then they give you a prize or something equal to that, or an autograph or a DVD for them from their promotion. No, WWE tells the world, all the entire world voted for a hug. I didn't even go to your damn stupid website for that. Anyway, they hugged it out. Matt Stryker's backstage and he asked Del Rio for an update on Ricardo Rodriguez. He said, well, the door opens. And out comes David Otunga from the dressing room, and since on behalf of my client, there's no comment. Sure, it was only a four-letter catchphrase for David Otunga, but they are realistically trying to find something for David Otunga to do when in reality they don't have anything for him to do. Other than show up dressed in a nice $15,000 clothes that makes you look like a legitimate lawyer, because in real life you are. But yeah, we don't have anything for you to do wrestling-wise. The hell you don't. I mean, because this is WWE's logic thinking. We are in charge, and if you don't like it, there's the door. No, ever since they went PG, they have another new logic, and that is no more factions, no more groups, no more of anything. Well, then you probably are going to keep having staggering TV ratings. Look, TNA got 6 to 8 different things going on, including Aces and Eights. That's a faction. And they're kicking your ass, Vince. Ryback versus Jinder Mahal. Ryback is your winner. United States title match, Santino Marella versus Antonio Carrizo. I like this guy, Antonio Carrizo. I know he's a little brash. I know he's a heel. But I like him. And yes, Matt, I didn't expect that to happen. When CM Punk said that he was taking the day off for Labor Day, because, you know, you're from Chicago. That's where you live, Matt. Even though it happened a few times in WCW back in the day, in the original ECW back in the day, where if you're from the hometown, you're going to get booed for doing what you just did, what CM Punk just did. But I was shocked. I said, nobody's booing him. Nobody's saying, you son of a bitch, what did you do this to us for? What did we ever do to you? We are your hometown crowd. We do respect you, but you just walked out. Even after he walked out. Chicago was still cheering him. I don't know what's wrong with you fans in Chicago. I don't even know if I'm the right person to be. No, I'm not the right person to be saying that. Or saying what I was going to say, so I'll just stop there. I don't know what Chicago's like. I have yet to experience it. Next summer, I am planning to try and come out and visit Matt Broderick. That way I can get a feel of Chicago, and then I can feel what the Chicago fans felt that night. Because I'm still immersed by that. Another thing, well, I wasn't immersed by it. I was kind of irritated with the fact that when Ryback came out, as soon as they rang the bell for the Ryback match, I'm like, this is pissing me off. I'm very irritated. Because your Chicago friends, Matt, Chicago is awesome for wrestling. Chicago has always had a place for wrestling. But you got to tell your 13, 17,000 fans that were in that building, Matt, that the rest of us were irritated. Maybe they thought it was funny to be chanting Goldberg throughout Ryback's whole match. That's all they chanted. I know they get amused when people look like Goldberg. I I remember for the 1996 and 1997 Royal Rumble. Because in 1996, they had this little mediocre guy, but he was bald-headed and brash, for those of you that remember. His name was Gilbert. And so they'd have him snort. He'd come out there, and he'd act like Goldberg. This was when WCW was still in business on a different TV station. This was Vince McMahon's way of making a mockery to Eric Bischoff and to Goldberg himself at that time. And though they didn't give him any pyro like they did in WCW with the actual Goldberg, no, Gilbert got fire extinguishers that would implode in front of him. That's the best they wanted to do for pyrotechnics. I can't believe that. Zack Ryder took on the one-man band Heath Slater. Zack Ryder is, of course, your winner. The next segment saw even more of a brash element, and I don't think we can call this, I mean, even though this is a typical, honest to God, PG product this past Monday on Raw, I'd say the whole counterfeit of Raw, from the time that they started the 3-hour product till the 3-hour show ended. Vicky Guerrero was in the ring, and she demands, straight up demands, that AJ come down to the ring right now. I mean, they tried to have Vicky Guerrero, you know, be that master manipulator and that brash voice of holding the show hostage. In other words, they tried to make her look like the man, the woman version of Steve Austin. Now, if you're a woman, I'm not saying it isn't anything against women, because it's not Vicky's fault. This is what the writers and the creative team and Vince McMahon wanted. She asked for a chair in the ring and said, "Give me a chair. The show is not going to continue on until AJ gets her ass out here." So with them trying to actually have her hold the show hostage, to no degree, but she gets her wish, and AJ came out there, and she said that the board of directors said that her behavior has been juvenile in the last 2 weeks, and they want her to grow up. And they also want her to apologize to the universe and to Vicky, because she is not allowed to put her hands on anyone. And after she did all this and blah, 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 and things went on, finally Vicky starts mocking her. Then she shoves AJ, and AJ doesn't do shit about it. She's just taking it all in. Trying to reminisce on what she will do and how she will respond. Then not once, not twice, but 3 times, Vicky Guerrero slapped the taste out of AJ's mouth. And then AJ had flipped by the 3rd one. And Vicky's like, "Oh shit, oh shit." But then, you know, AJ calmed herself and was like, "So that's right, you can't touch me. You can't put your hands on me, AJ. How do you like that? By the way, you didn't even deliver a sincere apology. Your apology was pathetic. Very pathetic." And then AJ ran towards her, and she got her ass out of the ring so fast. But she still was laughing. She still thought it was funny. Finally, AJ slams down the microphone and tosses the chair in Vicky's direction, I might add. but the chair only hit the rope, and that's why the chair was still in the ring. And Vicky took off. She's running up the ramp. She grabs the chair again and starts beating the mat with it. She seems like she's crazy. Then she tossed the chair out of the ring, which ultimately scared Vicky Guerrero off, and you knew Vicky wasn't coming back out at all. Then AJ's just storming around the ring. She kind of looked like Ryback, didn't she, when she was storming around the ring, tossing her feet up in the air? Then AJ throws a fit, starts pulling her hair out. And Michael Cole said, well, gee, man, I don't know. It looked like she's having some kind of nervous breakdown. We should help her. Yes, we should. I don't know. Maybe we should. You think you should help her, Michael Cole? Why don't you just get your ass up, put your headset down, get in the ring and try and calm her down? Since Michael Cole likes to tell the world that he's never had a problem with the ladies, that he's a sensitive ladies man. Yeah, right. I'd like to see Michael Cole get in a relationship. What if he was on Facebook and decided that he would actually start dating? You know how many people would leave nasty, rude, derogatory comments on his page about that? I'd be the first one to do it. Well, gee, Michael Cole, here's a comment for you, you little bastard. I give your relationship 3 months. 3 months. Let's see, it's September now. September, October. She'll break up with you just before Thanksgiving. That'll be a Thanksgiving present to you. But he just keeps saying all this other stuff. And he calls it a nervous breakdown. Well, it very might have been. I honestly don't know. Then we had a false count anywhere match. Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena. They went everywhere. Well, maybe just go to the backstage area, and then they don't even bother dealing with anywhere else. Even though, hence the name, false count anywhere. They actually lived up to it. It felt like the 90s again. You want to talk about a talent standing up to Vince McMahon and to creative. The only one that actually stood up to talent and to tell them what would make sense and what would not is their golden boy, John Cena. Well, of course, he's not going to get fired. So, of course, they listen to him. Because this whole match and who would be involved and how this would take place was all John Cena's idea, and all he really had to tell the writers was just have the camera crew follow us and that'll be the end of it. And the writers weren't going to argue with him. Creative wasn't going to argue with him. And certainly Vince McMahon is not going to argue with him. But he's arguing with Triple H, as you heard me mention earlier. But as Del Rio music, his music is playing. John Cena gets up and he's holding on to the hood of a car. Then he tries to stand up and he was getting ready to say some smart-ass comment to Alberto Del Rio. When CM Punk showed up, kicked him in the head, picked him up again, and then CM Punk drops him on his face on the top of a car. And Cena rolls off the car and just lays there on the floor. Punk's like, I keep telling you this is about respect. You respect me. Then he backs off and puts the title up in the air before getting in the car. The car goes into reverse. Drives by Cena. And you had to know where the storyline is going to go for this coming Monday. Because the window comes rolling down. Punk does get in the passenger seat. The driver is none other than Paul Heyman. And we're all went off the air. Yeah, I know, Matt. Everybody was hoping AJ was going to smack Vicky, but that didn't happen. Now, we go on to TNA. TNA, of course, wins last night. The Bound for Glory series is now at the Final Four. Jeff Hardy versus Samoa Joe. Jeff Hardy won. Gail Kim took on Tara with the new referee for the Knockouts division. Tara is your winner, thanks to the Widow's Peak. The Bound for Glory series again with Rob Van Dam versus Bully Ray. That was what you call straight wrestling. Oh my God, so many false finishes. Because twice Rob Van Dam hit his Van Daminator. Then, of course, he hit the 5-star frog splash, and I thought, that's it. It's over. No. They wanted Rob Van Dam to lose because, well, in real life, he has to go home and check on his wife. It appears that his wife in real life could be pregnant after all these years. They might have a little Rob Van Dam or a little girl to follow in her father's footsteps. Wow. And, of course, TNA's general manager, quote-unquote, Hulk Hogan, they kept having conferences and eliminating teams and eliminating people from certain matches for this Sunday's pay-per-view. And he told Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian at the top of the show that you want to play mind games? I will play mind games with you. It all still involves your old pal, AJ Styles. And backstage, he was like, I think you two are ready. He's like, Robbie E and Robbie T, you're out. I'm like, what? What? These two chums haven't been here that long. Especially not Chavo Guerrero. Hulk Hogan's like, yeah, whatever. He's like, Daniels, Kazarian, say hello to your contenders. You guys have put the belt up on the line tonight. Thank you for putting the belt on the line. But your opponents are Chavo and Hernandez. And Daniels and Kazarian were none too pleased. But they still got the victory, Daniels and Kazarian. Everything was good. Everything was going so well for the show. Matt said there were some ECW chants in my section. Well, of course. Anytime an original ECW member comes to your city, you're going to mark out like crazy and chant ECW, ECW. I did when Jazz came here. Shoot, when she came in San Francisco, there was no doubt in my mind I was going to that show a few years ago. Coffee said, it's a boy, Rob Jr. If it's a girl, Name her Robin. I don't know, Coffee. I'll be sure to let him know that, okay? But there was one huge fucking fluke during the show, the entire show of TNA. And it had to do with my boy from Southern California, because I'm in Northern California. But my boy, Joey Ryan, as I told you all over the summer, that even though he got eliminated from Gut Check, they wanted to keep him, so they are. But it pissed me off because this ruined the whole thing for the show, and it left everybody confused. Everybody that was in that impact zone, everybody that was watching at home, were like, what? Now, of course, if you were in the impact zone, you had no idea what Mike Tenay said. Because Mike Tenay said that we're going to show you the video footage of and the story leading up to what Joey Ryan's propositions have been and how he's made a huge impact here in Impact Wrestling. And they showed the footage and everything and how things were coming around. Then the camera switched to the backstage area. And Al Snow is walking to the ring with a purpose. He's not smiling. He's not doing anything other than walking through the ring. Mike Tenay and Taz are like, wow, it's Al Snow. He appears to be going on out to the ring. Mike Tenay's like, well, gee, I don't know what this is all about. The vice president of talent relations is coming out here? Al Snow? I don't know what this is about, but we have to take a commercial break. I've only had 3 problems with Mike Tenay this year. But after last night, don't turn into Michael Cole, please, for the love of God. Mike Tenay, I've watched you since I was a kid. You were so smart. You were a great announcer. Tony Schiavone was smart. Never really had to look at the call sheet. Never had to look at his notes. You were the same way. The other guy I respected was Jim Ross. Sure, he had his notes in front of him, but he virtually had everything memorized with what matches were going to take place and how and why, and he could emphasize the storyline reason behind these matches. But you go, first you told us, well, we're going to show a video footage of Joey Ryan. And then after the video footage gets shown, you actually tell the world you don't know why Al Snow is headed to the ring? When it has to do with Al Snow getting provoked by Joey Ryan at every turn? Come on, that was a stupid thing to say. Jeez. Yeah, Coffee, you might be right. It might be time for Mike Tenay to hang it up. Because he's constantly been forgetting these things of what's going on in the world of TNA. And, yeah, it just might be time to hang it up. Hang it up. Give it over to Taz. Let Taz take over. Even though Taz has been announcing, you know, for a while now, and he started announcing in WWE, but he really adds no value to anything. Like you said, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%, Coffee. But with all these things have happened, There is nothing more embracive or more confusing to the world. It doesn't matter what sports organization it is. Whether it be football, baseball, basketball, UFC, or wrestling. You have to let the real talent stand. Or let the real talent please. As I said, if you want to, you know, put your own title in, you can say, you can call it, subtitle it, will the real talent please stand up? If you don't let your talent give you ideas after you've asked for help in so many areas, then you might as well kiss your business goodbye. Because it's happened, and it's getting worse and worse. At the top of the list, Roger Goodell, he's the guy in charge of the NFL. He wants this for the NFL. He wants that for the NFL. But he doesn't know how to get it. You have all these people around you. You have the NFL players around you. Some of them are now veterans, and they now work for you in an office capacity. Let them help you. I remember one time on the ECW DVD that got released a few years ago, when Devon Dudley had said that, you know, sure, you're in charge of this business as the leader, the man of the show, but it's too big for one man to hold. One man can't control everything. You can't control all the creative juices that you're pumping out to your employees, to your talent, to whoever. It's just not going to work. It's impossible. Surround yourself with people that will actually help you. And don't throw them under the bus and be like, well, I know I said that, you know, that I had ideas, or that I was going to listen to your ideas. I changed my mind. I don't need your ideas. Like I gave that example about some of you in the chat room, that it would look really stupid on my part if I was to tell Coffee, Matt Broderick, and DDP in front of everybody, nope, I don't need your opinions or your 2 cents. You all can leave, all 17,000 of you. Then I'm going to make the rest of the employees mad at me. They might even kill me. They might figure out where I live. You can't do that. That's what you have employees for. Sure, you're the boss, but show your gratitude, show your gratification, and your emphasis on thanking people. That's what it all comes down to. Yes, Jesse Ventura never had to look at notes either. He just knew how to be a damn comedian. Now, of course, before we go off the air, I'd like to thank you all for joining me once again. Come back next week, or check out the guys that own this channel. One of the owners had called into the show. You heard him talk earlier. And I did mention a question in the chat room about the whole Taco Bell thing. I wasn't going to do Taco Bell tonight, but I got a better idea for tonight. Then I said in the chat room during the commercial break, what am I going to do for dinner? I'll tell you the answer. I'm going to go to Olive Garden tonight. After all, they do have the special right now for a short limited time. All-you-can-eat food. All-you-can-eat pasta and garlic bread. Oh, I can chug that down real quick. Yes, and happy NFL weekend. The official NFL weekend is underway. We'll see you all next week. I don't know where that came from. But take care.
And into the top rope. And he's in it. Frog splash. Frog splash. Tonight.
looked at, he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.